Now, back to the Mike Calta Show on 102.5 The Bone.
All right, welcome back. Ian Beckles filling in for the great Mike Calta, who I believe is
probably on his way back.
He probably maybe just landed maybe a couple minutes ago, right over in the Channel Side area.
Great.
Maybe listening, possibly.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. He will not be in here today or tomorrow, but he'll be back Monday. They'll have a full crew. They'll be unwinding from their unwinding.
Can I
which
ask
normally
what,
happens?
What happens with the football picks? Like, is there a prize? Like, are we? I mean,
I don't know. They used to do.
Prize?
They used to do
what,
punches.
Oh,
so I'm saying. So if it's punches, I'll
punch somebody. That's all. I mean, they used to punch Carmen. I'm not trying to punch Carmen.
Oh, no.
And I certainly couldn't punch Monica.
No.
Like, I couldn't do it.
Yeah,
but she'll punch you though.
I know. But I just couldn't. I couldn't punch Monica. This wouldn't. It
That's
wouldn't
not
be good.
Good for me.
I couldn't sleep for a month after that.
No. Oh.
You know, I'd be sad and everything like that.
I don't think you'd be able to connect. Monica's trying.
Possibly.
This is a gal who can bob and weave.
The angle's definitely throwing off. Now, there's a couple things I have going on before we start talking to the great Jack Gordon. Sunday, we're going to be doing a Buccaneer viewing party at Elmer's on MacDill. Which is SOG, south of Gandy.
Yeah, man.
That's how we do it. Don't have to dress up. Come
nope.
as you are. Come in your
Roll
slippers.
Out of bed.
Come in your drawers.
Nice.
Come in your pajamas.
Yep. Don't matter.
You can wear your babushka.
All right.
It doesn't matter. Just come as you are. We'll be watching a Buccaneer game there. I have my show there from 11 to 1 on Sunday. I have the great Martin Gramatica is going to be one of my guests. Tony Mayberry, former Buccaneer, all-pro center, and the great Greg Wolf, just
I'll be there.
Man of the world.
Good crew.
Before absolutely. Hockey, I'll be
dignitary
there.
Radio
yeah, yeah,
show.
Definitely come hang out. Then Saturday, I have the show with Ray Lampe. That's going to be at Furman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, Florida 54 in Lutz. And that's from 1 to 3 on Saturday, and we're going to be drawing for a big green egg.
Oh,
so
boy.
Come and hang
nice.
Out.
Right in time
draw
for
a big green
season.
Egg, and life is good. Now, we have super lawyer Jack Gordon in the house. And, Jack, we were talking yesterday about a lot of different things, and we'll go to these phone lines in a second. But I want you to ponder this before we get to the phone lines.
Yes, sir.
Everybody was talking about suing Duke Energy and suing all these different energy companies. Off the top of your head, real quick, how possible is that? How feasible is that? How if you sue
anything's possible in the law and in medicine, we say never say never.
Now, if you sue Duke Energy, when do you expect to get any kind of money? But 40 years from now?
Well, I think the attorneys may do real well. I mean, if
because
there's,
yeah,
if there's some
around.
Type of potential
class action, which means the lawyers get all of it.
So each claimant, each plaintiff may be entitled to
something
for the additional days that were otherwise spent without air conditioning and electricity. But in all fairness, when you're talking about a utility, a public utility or a private company, when there is a monopoly,
which there
it's
is.
A problem.
Right.
It's a problem.
Who's to say that they weren't doing everything they otherwise possibly could? I know that, for example, here in Tampa and throughout Florida, we have an alliance with a number of other public utility companies in other states. And I don't know how many people are part of the alliance. I think it was created after Hurricane Sandy. Essentially, there's an agreement, almost like an insurance type of program, so that, again, it may be 15 states that participate. God forbid your state has a problem. The other states are compelled to lend assistance, both in terms of manpower, utility manpower, equipment, and the like.
Okay.
And I know that there are people who traveled, I mean, many miles. Yeah, long. As far away I know as Ohio sent a number of crews.
Canada too.
Yeah,
they were at the hockey game the other night. Yeah.
So it's not like they didn't try.
No, they have. But my question is, where are the when Governor Rick Scott says we are a disaster area, and we have been declared that the government understands that there are going to be subsidies, there's going to be government assistance, there are things that are coming into the state to get the state back up and running. If a Duke Energy, for example, is overcharging their customers, they're sending them bills that are 3-4 times the normal amount because they're estimating what it may be because they don't have meters that are working at that time. How is it any different for a Duke Energy to be considered price gouging when the guy at the corner store who's trying to charge $40 for a case of water, that's price gouging. That can be reported to Pam Bondi.
Because the guy in the corner isn't otherwise going to refund monies or credit the person whom he has charged $40 for the bottle of water. The whole nature of the electric company is, again, they are estimating what the usage is based upon, I forget how they did it. They added up so many weeks and then divided by that number and came up with an estimate. But once the meters are back up and running and the personnel are here to otherwise read the meters, you're credited back for the amount that you overpaid.
But okay, where's the common sense in this time right now where everybody's struggling to for your electric bill to be four times what it was when you didn't have electricity?
Like, at all.
There's no common sense in that, is there?
Yeah, I didn't have it, and you're going to charge me going, oh,
I got my
decimating.
Bill yesterday. I got my bill from Duke yesterday. And? $660.
And what is it normally?
$150.
Oh, okay, so explain
that. I have a one-bedroom apartment.
Right, I did not
I have some theories. Again, it may be a function of the fact that they don't necessarily wait for federal recovery because that's going to take some time. So they gouge everybody in the short term to at least
create everybody else should lose but them.
Well, again, not lose because at the end of the day, you are going to be credited back for the true amount of energy
used. But everybody's struggling now, though. Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's struggling now. There's some people that didn't
work
for a week.
Listen to yourself, though. Last segment, we talked about the millennials and their sense of entitlement. Guys, we just went through a natural disaster. It could have been a whole heck of a lot worse. It was a Category 5 storm, and you guys are moaning about a few.
No, but that's the worst time to triple charge people.
But the company that made $600 million in a
Q2
is going to charge. Listen, this is common sense, man. I'm a common sense guy. Okay, I got street smarts. That's all I got. I don't got book smarts. I got street smarts. Okay, so your meter is off. We'll discharge you either the average of all your months or last year, this month, what it was. That's common sense for me. Four times because we couldn't read your meter and we're going to give it back to you? I don't want to give you my money.
I know you don't, but that in all fairness and with all due respect, isn't that a function of who is in a superior position in any relationship?
No, it's a fact. That's a fact.
In any relationship? I mean, the...
So they're bullies then?
They're monopoly.
What's the difference?
You're feeling like Jeff right now.
What's
aren't
the difference?
You?
A little bit.
Oh,
well, what's the difference between bullies and monopolies? There's no big difference. I admit I was bullying at the time.
Okay.
But as long as Duke Energy admits they were bullying, I'll be all right. But they're bullying right now.
That's my point. Is like he said, they can simply look at the average. We're already in the month of September, correct? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You mean to tell me the previous 8 months you can't look at my bill and go, well, Mr. Wolf was paying about $172 a month. We obviously know that they did not have power for a week. So we're going to go ahead and charge him maybe $50 more because, you know, whatever.
And like it may be refunded $50.
And it may be refunded. Why are you charging me four times?
I may be speculating, but I'm presuming that the expense of having to get substations back up and bringing in extra crews and having them work overtime and double time and the like, that they incurred significant expenditures both in the time leading up to the storm, during the course of the storm, and probably still now, in an effort again to recoup that, because they are the company. They are the employers. They have all the control. They would prefer to be the ones holding the money rather than have any deficit that they have to make up for in the future.
But at the same time, that's why there's government assistance. They are there to get the power back on to restore order. That is why
With $600 million in a quarter, I don't understand it could be any kind of deficit. Like, you can really divide that up in a million ways and still be a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? So what deficit?
I don't see how there's
No common sense. Let's go to a couple people that are on the phone lines. And I'm happy that somebody's bitching at me that I'm talking bad about millennials, because I'm going to let people know this. When I talk to millennials, the first thing I say is, don't concede to being a millennial. Because just because everybody says you're supposed to be lazy doesn't mean you can be lazy.
Sure.
You could be a different millennial. That's what I tell everybody. So I'm happy somebody's bitching and moaning. Let's go to Dakota. Wants to talk about millennials. Dakota, how are you this morning?
Hey, I wasn't really bitching and moaning. I was just trying to put in my opinion about...
Go ahead.
You know, I understand the majority of our millennials, you know, they're the way they are, but there is that minority, like me. I've been working since I was 18 here at construction, worked my way up, busted my butt, and I started at $10 an hour, I make $18 an
hour.
Good
for you, brother.
Excellent.
Nice.
And listen, when I talk, I'm not talking about you.
Right.
You
don't
know
take
what I mean?
Offense
no,
to it.
I just wanted to let you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
That minority.
And I'm going to let you know, brother, I appreciate you. Thank you for the call, because there's always exceptions to everything.
Absolutely.
And listen, when I hear people talking about, sometimes I hear people talking about black people in generalizations.
Okay.
They're not talking about me.
No.
They're not talking about them. So why would it offend me?
It wouldn't.
It doesn't. Okay, if you say black people are lazy and black people are always late, well, I'm not, so right. You're not offending me.
Right.
You're offending all the rest of my race, but you're not offending me.
Right.
You know, so listen, lawyers have a stigma of being this, that, and the other.
Sure.
You think? lawyers are not thought of well.
I fully understand
that.
They're not.
But in all fairness, you know, neither are a lot of other people until you need
Correct.
Them.
Exactly.
Police aren't necessarily thought very
exactly.
well currently.
But some police are cool. Some police are dicks.
Physicians, doctors, hospitals. Are you kidding me? You know, people have to wait 18 hours in the emergency room. Then when they get their bill, they got to take out a second mortgage. Yep. Oh, they're bitching and moaning yeah. about the doctors and all the money they're making. But God forbid they fall ill and need a physician. Oh, boy.
Well, you know, and the same with a lawyer. Look, I have a lot of lawyer friends. Most of them are cool. I can hang out and everybody's cool. But then I've had some...
You're like the guy who says, I have a lot of black friends.
Yeah, no, but I really do have... I can show you 20 lawyers in my damn phone. I swear to God, they're everywhere, okay? And so, but my thing is, I've also had a situation with a lawyer that, you know, when I was playing ball back in the day, my agent was from New York, and this guy call me up from New York, a lawyer guy, and he goes, hey, man, I heard you with the Jets, blah, blah, blah. So we're talking Jets football, blah, 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 blah. So we talk business at the end for like 3 minutes. Then I got a bill for 1 hour phone call, $300.
Say $400.
We talked business for 2 minutes, and we talked about the Jets. Mm-hmm. That bothers me. that bothers me. You know.
Jack knows.
There's that sneaky side. Again, you know that.
And I'm blessed because I'm not relegated to having to do that. As a plaintiff's lawyer, when you represent the people, the folks who have otherwise been injured or victimized by medical malpractice or personal injury, they're not coming out of pocket to pay. Rather, they are assigning their case to me. They're asking me to pay the freight, to advance my time, money, energy, effort, and resources. And then at the end of the day, if we are successful, then we receive a portion of that, a percentage.
Makes sense.
They say that's the real keys to the courtroom, is the contingency fee rather than the hourly fee.
Well, that one makes a lot more sense, and more sense of what's going on here with some of these electric bills as well. Let's go to Dominic that says you can ignore the bill. Dominic, who told you we could ignore the bill, Dominic?
So Senator Jeff Brandis, he's in direct contact with Duke.
Okay.
When people started getting those bills, they started emailing him like crazy. He's in direct contact with them, right? I follow him on Facebook, and he said that they said you could ignore those estimated bills, and when everything's restored and their workers are able to get out and read your meter, they'll get you the accurate bill. And that's the one you have to pay.
Now, Dominic, when they turn my lights off, can I tell them that Dominic said I didn't have to pay the bill?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I mean, you can take this all with a grain of salt, right? What I would do personally, I would call them and say, hey, I got this outrageous bill, right? I'm not going to pay it. When are you going to send me the correct bill? And then you have that documented on your account that you called and said, hey, you know, this isn't my bill. I mean, obviously, if you're paying an average of $170 a month, you get a bill for $300, you're not going to pay that. If you do, you're crazy.
Yeah, as a practical matter, it may even be better to go ahead and send a check for $130.
Yes, and I think right now, and thank you, Dominic, I don't know if that's great advice not to pay it. I would definitely do what you said and document it.
But if you have a state senator, you can call your state senator.
Right now, let me tell you something, okay?
If you think this guy Jeff is giving out his cell phone number?
Hey. If you think you're going to get in contact.
Yeah, when your electricity and AC goes out, you try to get a hold of the Senator Jeff. Yeah.
Right now, you're not going to get a hold of a state senator, and you're not going to get a hold of Duke Energy.
No.
You're just not, okay? Right. With everybody getting these bills right now, if you call Duke Energy right now to try to get somebody, and it's less than 4 hours, I'd be shocked. It's going to be 4 hours. I don't want to wait 4 hours.
But why are they not getting in front of it, Duke? Why are they not saying, guys, look, we know you're going to get outrageous
But this is their
bills.
Philosophy, obviously. This was their philosophy beforehand.
Yeah,
I don't
but Greg's
think they
talking
think...
about from a public relations perspective.
Correct.
You got to figure they got guys who can anticipate what the expense is going to be and how they're going to need to respond to make up reserves.
And say, we need to get in front of it.
Isn't there a way of, from a public relations perspective, exercising some proactivity and providing some type of an announcement, soften it up a little bit, ease the blow, anesthetize before they're gonna crack you over the head, give us a little bit of Novocaine.
Right.
But this is the thing, we talked about this the other day. Why does Duke Energy care about PR? You can't go nowhere.
Again, right. Monopoly,
you can't go nowhere.
Right.
PR my ass. What if they're like, okay, don't pay it then. Well, turn your lights off or you can move.
Right. Or move.
Oh yeah,
that's your
by
option.
The way, when you're moving, your lights are gonna be off.
Right.
Okay. Tough guy. You don't want to pay your bill, tough guy? We'll see what
happens.
Again,
back to the leverage. So they truly have a license to charge whatever they like.
That's it. Unbelievable. Let's go to John. John wants to talk a little bit more about the millennials. Oh, no, he wants to talk a little bit about
the power.
John, you're on 102.5 The Bone. What's up?
You guys are doing a great job, by the way. Just wanted to say that.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
Back to the, you know, the power bill, we're still talking about it. This happened to me years ago when I lived in Detroit with Detroit Energy. They sent me an $800 bill. They estimated for the whole winter. My average bill the previous winter was about $225 a month. So not too bad. Mm-hmm. They sent me this $800 bill. I tried to ignore that bill and not pay it. I sent them the money, and they did exactly what you're saying. Okay, tough guy. Yeah. We're going to turn the power off.
Yeah.
And then I continued. I got them back on the phone. This was in the process of me moving back down to Florida. They followed me with this. I said, all right, I'm gonna leave. What are they going to do now? They kept nailing me with they sent it to collections for years.
And then interest and penalties get tacked on,
and then your credit goes down.
Your credit's done, and that's
it will affect you. I mean, don't ignore it. You gotta. I'm not saying to pay it because it's crazy, but I do agree.
Get on the phone with the
people and do something. And you're gonna spend 2 hours on hold.
At least 2 hours. And listen, it's not up to a debate whether it's unethical. Thank you, John. I appreciate the call. We're not going to sit here and talk about whether it's unethical because I think it is. 100%. It's unethical. So people in need, people struggling right now, small businesses struggling, everybody to get hit with this. Let me get the money and we'll give it back to you. I mean, that's crazy to me. I mean, you couldn't do it any worse than that to me. Okay, so we're not going to sit here and say whether it's ethical or not because, you know, ethics and law really don't have anything to do with each other. Do they?
Yeah, there's in Herman Melville's classic novel, Billy Budd.
I read all the stuff.
Jeff read all the stuff for you is what happened. Yeah. But there's a line where they say, listen, justice isn't the issue here. The law is. And to some extent, that can happen. I mean, if we talk, for example, about certain laws like the exclusionary rule, there's a good one. You ask the average guy, listen, let me tell you the following story. There's this pedophile rapist murderer, torturer, sadist.
Mm-hmm.
And he's cut this little 10-year-old girl up, mm-hmm. sliced her to ribbons.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs into his apartment and he throws the bloody knife with his fingerprints and the girl's DNA in the closet. Mm-hmm. And police get a search warrant. They bust in and they find the knife. It's mm-hmm. his. Oh, wait a minute. There's a defect in the search warrant.
That's what's crazy
As a result of the exclusionary rule, the jury is not going to find out about that bloody knife or the forensics, the fact that the DNA matches. So people hate that rule. They say, How can that possibly be justice?
You don't,
this guy is guilty.
You don't hate it?
I understand that there's a reason for it. And here in these United States, we so cherish our constitutional rights. We so cherish the right of privacy and individual freedom against unlawful search and seizure that we would rather have an innocent guy go free than to otherwise subject the citizenry and the people of this country to those types of freedom compromises. So, again, there tends to be a reason for it. Do I like it in every circumstance? Mm. No. But the law is not perfect. But I'll tell you what, having traveled the world, there is no system better than ours.
I agree.
There is none.
Most people are flawed, and I'm going to tell you why. Most people will do this. If you think somebody's guilty, they're guilty regardless what the court says. And if you think they're guilty, they'll say, well, that's the law. You see what I'm saying? You can't have it both ways.
Right.
You're not the law. The law's written. And whatever the law says and the court says, that should be law regardless. And that's not really the American
way.
I think,
and I'm trying to think who it was that they asked. If it was Cuomo when he was running for office.
Mario Cuomo?
I think, and I want to make sure, we can probably look it up real quick on the internet. But essentially, he was asked a question, listen. And it was about a particular case, and they were talking about him and asking his opinion. He says, listen, the law says that we have to do things in a civilized fashion.
Correct.
And the reporter, whoever it was that was asking him the question during the course of the campaign, said, well, let me ask you something, sir. You know, if some guy comes in your house, rapes and kills your wife, you're not going to do something?
Mm-hmm.
And Cuomo responded and said something to the effect of, yeah, I'd want to get a baseball bat, and I'd smash the guy's head in. Mm. But I expect the law to be better than I am.
That's well said.
But I thought there was a tremendous amount of insight in that commentary.
But I would say the same thing, and while I'm smashing with a bat, and I'm going to smash him with a bat, I think I know I'm going to be going away.
But and you're okay with that?
Yeah, because I have to think about that mm-hmm. before I go, and I'm like, okay, well, I can't let the guy get away with it, so I'm going to go smash him with the bat, and then I'm going to call my wife, I'm going away. But I'm going to smash him with the bat, Bill.
We can be critical of the law, but we have to respect the fact that we want the law to be better than we are.
I think we want the law to be right and wrong, and that's just not
that's
always.
Not, it's that's impossible. Not life.
It's not possible.
That's not life.
It's really not possible. Right. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and come back. I got my boy Steve Everett calling from Big Pine to let us give us an update of what's happening over there. And we also have a lovely young lady from the
Team USA,
Amanda Kessel, that's coming in here. I'm sure she has some wonderful wheels because I don't know how you can skate without wonderful wheels.
Of course.
You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm sure she just that athletic level to me is wonderful, you know? You're one of the best in the country. That's always a wonderful
thing.
Come
on, man.
You can't say anything about that.
Nope.
That's a beautiful thing. We have Super Lawyer Jack Gordon in the house and everybody else hanging out. And she's right here as we speak about her.
Look
right
at
here.
That. Wonderful. Walking in.
There you go. Skating in here. She nice. Skated in here quietly. I didn't even hear her. That's wonderful. She definitely is an athlete. She has soft feet. We'll be back on the other end. Still plenty to talk about. If you're on the phone lines, hold on. And we'll be spitting more knowledge on the other side. Ian Beckles filling in for the great Mike Calta. 102.5 The Bone, Real Raw Radio.
The Mike Calta Show on 102.5 The Bone.